Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Wednesday, April the 8th. Thank you so much for tuning in with me for another week. As always, I want to make sure that I thank the patrons of the show. I feel like it's been a couple of weeks or a few weeks since I've been able to come on here and thank you, and that was largely because of interviews and two-parters and things like that. So I wanted to make sure that I give a shout-out to – there's actually a couple of new patrons on the podcast that started on March 29th and March 27th, which is my birthday. Thank you so much. So thank you to Charlie and Todd and Tara. And let's keep scrolling down here. I've got a lot of emails to respond to. Oh, you know what? I keep those in a different place now. Oh, goodness. I'm so sorry. All right. Serena, Victoria, Chad, Anthony, Jennifer, Eddie, Jenny, Sean, Christina, Holly, Ross, Caroline, Julie, Casey, Alyssa, Brian, Sarah, Adrian, Stan, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. Thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting the podcast. It means the absolute world. Wow, what a great last few weeks of interviews that there have been. That Dr. Dan Ratner one, we talked for just over 2 hours straight, and you heard both of those over the last couple of weeks, and I think there are four interviews that I've conducted that are sitting in the can ready to be aired that are coming up over the next couple of months, and so be patient if you're one of those people that's been interviewed and you're waiting for your episode to air. It's funny because I think that three of those four were recorded either before the coronavirus pandemic got really, really, really serious and bad all over the world, or maybe shortly thereafter, but I just wasn't much of a part of the conversation. I'm trying to be as timely as possible. It is what it is. I wanted to give you guys an update on some of the stuff that's going on in my life before I jump into what I'm going to talk about today, which is, to be honest, not a solely focused part of the episode. I just went out a couple hours ago on the Facebook page, the Deleters of Pain, and said, hey, what do you guys want to hear about? I think there were three or four different responses. So last week, or a couple weeks ago, my trip to Tampa, or a few weeks ago, I guess my trip to Tampa was canceled. I was going there for WrestleMania. It's kind of my annual solo man trip. I go down there. I attend a whole bunch of wrestling events, wrestling conventions. I just sort of geek out. That's my thing. I rent a car. I'll go and I'll see some sights as well. But I look forward to that every single year. And then as news started coming over the beginning of March is kind of when I was like, I think this thing's going to get canceled. And as the weeks went on, it just wasn't getting canceled. And then eventually it finally did. And luckily the airlines were really cool, refunded my money. Airbnb was cool about it. Turo was cool about it. So I didn't lose any cash, but all the money that I had spent, my wife and I, we have separate allowance accounts and we get a weekly stipend and we can do whatever we want with it. And so pretty much I don't spend any money throughout the year because I put it all to this WrestleMania trip. I buy good tickets. I just do cool stuff, rent a motorcycle if I want to, any of that kind of thing. So I got all this money that came back to me, my normal WrestleMania money, and I wanted to go do something cool. So I posted on my Instagram. I said, should I get a longboard, like a skateboard, or should I get a mountain bike? And I think in the end, I was probably going to end up getting both, but wanted a new, another outdoor hobby. And so I got the longboard first. The longboard arrived last Tuesday. So it was a week ago, as you hear this. Might have even been, it's possible it was Wednesday. Nevertheless, it was either March 31st or it was April 1st. I can't remember. Things were actually going really, really good. I've actually never skateboarded in my life, and I just thought this would be awesome because my daughter loves to ride her scooter, and this would be kind of a cool thing to, since I'm homeschooling now, along with working and all that, we have two or three different PE sessions in the day. And sometimes that involves going 2.5 miles round trip with her scooter and just, we're talking or, I'm running after or that kind of thing. But I thought it'd be cool to have it be a longboard this time. So I was practicing for probably 45 minutes to an hour. In fact, a neighbor even came out and said to me, she asked when I got the longboard was. And I was like, I just got it a couple hours ago. And she said, no, but when was the last time you ever like skateboarded? And I said, I never had. And she seemed impressed. I don't know. She could have been being facetious, but, I was going down driveways and I was going down little hills and I was taking turns and it was all going really well. And then it started to rain a little bit and my youngest daughter, Audrey, wanted to go outside. And so I said, okay, I'll give it 5 more minutes and I'll do it in the rain and whatever. I go down the steepest driveway in the cul-de-sac and I try and take a hard right turn and my ankle just rolls underneath me. And it was pain like I have never felt in my life. I dislocated my shoulder. I broke the top of my arm. I've broken fingers. I've broken four toes at one time. I tore my labrum. I tore my rotator cuff. I've had a variety of different injuries happen. And in that moment, my ankle, I was convinced it was shattered and that the bone was just sticking out of the bottom of my leg. It hurt so bad, and took everything I could do to grab the longboard, which is 44 inches long, and make my way to the garage so I could lay on the ground in the garage and scream and writhe and cry because I was in so much pain. It was unbelievable. And I think it was either that night or it was the next night. I think it was probably that night. I took a hot bath, and it felt actually a lot better in the bath, but I couldn't put an ounce of weight on it. And then I went over to the shower, dragged myself to the shower, and if I didn't pass out, I came as close as I ever have to passing out. I don't know if it was because of pain or if it was just because of the extra super hot water that I was just in, getting into another thing of hot water, dehydration, pain. Could have been a variety of things, just a little too amped up. But my God, you guys, it hurts so bad. And with all the coronavirus craziness going on, urgent care was the last place I wanted to go, but I was like, if this is broken, I want to at least make sure that it's settled okay, because it was really swollen. It was like a baseball under my skin at this point. And so I go to the doctor. She evaluates it. It's kind of pretty concentrated pain in one spot. And she had asked, they did imaging and a clinical test, and she said that there wasn't a break. Felt like it was some kind of a sprain. And so gave me some crutches and an air cast. And I had said, what do you think? This is like a 4-week thing, 6-week thing? And she said, no, it should be much quicker than that. So still hurt like hell for the rest of that day. Hurt a lot the next day. I'm using the crutches, which suck big time. But it rapidly actually started to feel a lot better. And, I was feeling better one day than I was the day before, all the way up to yesterday. Cause I'm big on getting my steps in on my Fitbit. And I was averaging like 14 or 15,000 steps a day before this stuff happened. And obviously, you know, next to nothing since it happened. So last night before bed, I went out and I did a 3-ish mile walk. It was just too much. So my ankle and my Achilles and kind of everything in that area has just been hurting. Not as bad right now, but certainly when I woke up this morning, skipped the gym, have walked a lot less. And so it is what it is. It's still a little bit swollen. It's bruised up along the bottom side. When I push it on the bruise, actually, though, it doesn't, maybe it does hurt. It doesn't hurt a lot. It's just mainly that that really bony part on your ankle, just below the ankle. So hopefully by the next time that you hear me talk on this podcast, that thing will feel a lot better, because I am ready to get back in the gym and, you know, do my Olympic lifting thing and all that. But nevertheless, I went out and I got myself a mountain bike today. And also got my daughter. Hopefully she won't listen to this. I don't think she will. Got her a bike as well with training wheels. It'll be her first bike with training wheels. She has the trike really well. She has the 3-wheeled scooter. But I'm just looking for hobbies that I want to do with my kid, because I think that would be a blast. So I'm going to give it to her, I think, on Easter this Sunday. And hopefully she digs it. It is a pink Specialized, I don't know what they call it, a rock hopper or a sky rock or something like that. But the idea is that it's something that it's not going to be too big, but on the bigger side. But she should be able, that should be able to last her. She's 5 now. Should be able to last her until she's 8 or so. So it should last a little while. So I'm pretty excited for that. That's going to be a good time. So let's get into what I'm going to talk about. And again, these are just totally from the cuff. Life has been very busy. I've got a full-time job. I have a 2-year-old at home now, and I'm homeschooling the 5-year-old. My wife and I are trying to do this thing together and navigate these waters unlike anything that we've ever seen before. I'm in software sales, and normally I am going and doing all my meetings in person. Those are no longer happening in person at all. Cold calling is not been deemed effective at all. And so I tried some different stuff earlier today. Actually, I picked 20 specific prospects, and I recorded pitch videos about a minute long where I tried to get their attention. I wrote their name on a big whiteboard. I held the whiteboard up to the screen at first, hopefully to have them get back to me. I actually had one that did get back to me today. He told me it was a really nice pitch and we're going to meet in a couple of days. And so this is the world we're in right now. We have to be able to pivot. So It is what it is, but I am exhausted at the end of most days. So basically, as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm done and I'm down for the count. So just what it is. That's why I'm happy I recorded all those interviews ahead of time, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. I didn't anticipate a global pandemic, but that's just the way it is. So first question comes from Sophie. How does one manage to stay optimistic when waking up in pain every single day? You know, it's tough. And I think that just having some sheer confidence that even if you do wake up in pain, it's not a long lasting or big deal. And it sounds, that sounds like a really simplistic thing to say and a simplistic way to put it. But honestly, that's the best way that I can put it, because you have to be able to have confidence that you're not going to be in pain forever. And you're not, this isn't, you know, your life is not deemed to be doomed for the rest of your life. You just kind of have to be able to be at peace with that and be okay with it. So I guess that would be my big piece of advice, because I know that when I first found out a lot of this stuff, or let's say just before I found out a lot of this stuff, I would wake up just in sheer agony every single day. I felt like I had, the way that I would always put it is that I had big tree trunks or metal rods running up both sides of my spine, because those spinal erectors were just so tense and tight and wound up, and I just felt terrible. When I was laying in bed, I would feel okay. And then as soon as one foot would hit the ground, poof, it was like a lightning bolt. Just, you know, I was just suddenly, and it was like that all the way until I went to bed. And it was that every day for months and months and months and months and months. So there had to come a period of time to which I just said, if it happens, it happens. If that's the way it's got to be, that's the way it's got to be. And just kind of that confidence and indifference, I think, makes a massive change in how your nervous system is going to react. If you're anticipating every single day to be terrible, every day probably will be terrible. And that's really as simple as I can put it. Next question. How listening to so much media regarding COVID can increase one's pain and hinder your recovery from fear? It's because your mind is going to a place of fear. It's going to the worst case scenario, because that's how the rating systems works. I had a background in radio years and years and years ago, 10 years ago, no, 12 years ago at this point. Gosh, it's been a long time. But 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I learned a lot about the rating system and how that works. And, you know, shock jocks and sensationalist news networks and things like that, they make their money by eyeballs that are watching the screen. So the more that they can sensationalize a story or make a bigger deal out of things than they really have to be, or the tonality that they use and all these things, it's going to guarantee viewers, but they don't have any responsibility, meaning the news anchors or the networks, they don't have any real responsibility into how do their listeners or how do their viewers feel in the days following that. There's a really great documentary on, it's on HBO On Demand. I think HBO Now or HBO Go is actually doing either free service right now, or they're doing free trials or free previews right now. It'd be worth it to sign up for this if you don't have HBO, to go and watch. It's a documentary called The United States of Stress. Something like that. Might be One Nation Under Stress. It's one of those two. But it's done by the chief medical director for CNN. So he does this documentary on the impact that the nervous system has on the body. But he also goes on to talk about even deeper things, like how the suicide rate is so high. And what demographics does the suicide rate impact more than others? It's really fascinating. But I think that the main thing to take home here is that you constantly have this barrage of messaging hitting you all the time. I'm sitting in front of a TV right now. It's not on. But if it were on, I guarantee if I had it on one of the four major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox, one of them, probably all of them, are doing a COVID-19 story right now, and they're talking about death rates, and they're talking about it being in my community, and they're talking about airborne transmission, and they're talking about wearing masks, and they're talking about CDC guidelines and all these things. And our mind is subconsciously going to these places in movies like Contagion or I Am Legend, or What Kind of a Disease Can You Catch? It's social, what's the word I'm looking for? I used to use this a lot. Social contagion, meaning like you can talk to somebody. Here's a good example. Somebody yawns that's near you. You yawn. Happens almost all the time. Sneezing works the same way. Coughing can work exactly the same way. There's just a variety of things that are like that. Your mind is latching on to these things. And so you can skip the news altogether, which I think is fine. I'm really trying to, I don't watch it anymore. And I'm trying to get away from even browsing the websites. It's driving me nuts. I cannot have this be. I was thinking about the other day, I was watching WrestleMania on TV. And it was two nights at 3 hours apiece. Night one might have been 3 hours. Night two is probably 4 hours. It was the first stretch of time, 3 hours the first night, 4 hours the second night, that I did not look at the COVID-19 death rates in the United States, period, for the last month. So you got to have a distraction. It's kind of where that comes home. Next question. Maybe how to cope different types of pain. Let me explain. Some kind are easier for me to deal with. For example, when the pain is constant with no surprise, with the same level, since I discovered TMS approach, my pain changed and it's normal. I get it, but it's kind of hard to deal with when it's intense 10 out of 10 in a second, and then it goes to 0 out of 10. Sometimes I feel really good, peaceful, and calm, and boom, pain attack, really intense and scary. Even if it doesn't stay, the memory of this horrible pain is hard to deal with. Second subject, I always thought I was a really chill person, but since a few months ago, I think I feel anxiety, which is leading to the pain. Maybe it's the opposite. Does pain lead to anxiety, or does anxiety lead to pain? Anyway, there's a relation between these two aspects, but I would like to hear more about these aspects. So it's chicken or the egg, the famous expression that I never understood until I did the TMS thing. What does come first? I honestly think anxiety comes a little before pain, but I think it can go in both ways too. You feel some anxiety from a situation, and to me, anxiety is very much a blanket term. Anger is anxiety. Sadness is anxiety. Rage is anxiety. So really a lot of things sort of fit into anxiety, but then anxiety itself ramps up the sympathetic nervous system, and then you get pain. So, and then when you're in pain, you sort of have anxiety about feeling more pain, or how long is this pain going to last, or is it going to go somewhere else, or, you know, whatever the case is. So it's not really going to do you any good to think about either one of them. What I would say is that you've probably spent a lot of time attacking the pain, with quotation marks, but maybe not a lot of time attacking the anxiety. And the number one thing to do with anxiety in order to get it to go away is to allow it to come and just know that it's going to be there. I always think of anxiety very much as like a tidal wave. If a tidal wave is coming towards you, there's really nothing that you can do about it. You can stand on the dock and watch it as it's smashing you in the face, and you're going to float out into the ocean, and that's it. But there's nothing else you can do. You can't run from it. You can't fight it. So it's just going to come. So we might as well just let it come. I explained a few weeks ago when Christy Weepy was on how I overcame my intense commercial plane flying fear. I used to get very sweaty palms. I used to get heart palpitations. I used to speed up so much, and I'd be so afraid that this plane is going to go down. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Puddle jumpers, 8-seater puddle jumpers, a little bit different, but I survived those. But big commercial airlines, I'd freak out a little bit on those. And I was on a flight to Dallas to do a fundraising event at the Cowboys Stadium, Jerry World. And I remember it was icy in Dallas, which was so strange, but this event was in January of 2010. And it was icy. The pilot warned us that it was icy on the way before we were going to start making the descent into Dallas. And we started having just crazy turbulence. It just felt like we were just like plummeting 20 feet at a time. And I remember I was all amped up about it. I was freaked out. And then I just sort of had this moment where I kind of like opened my arms up figuratively. And I just thought, you know, if it goes down, it goes down. And it is what it is. And I can't stop the plane from going down. So just let it be. And from that day, I never had an irrational fear of flying again. Not on a commercial plane anyway. So it's really just a lot about being able to allow. And I would go further on that and to think about going back to the question that I answered first. How can you stay optimistic when you're waking up in pain every single day? I think that's really the best thing that you can do. Anne commented on this, and she said, I second this idea. Why do some symptoms bring up so much fear? For me, anything other than low back is just fine and short-lived. And yep, you guessed it. Low back has all the fear attached to it. It's so damn textbook, and yet I still grapple with it. When I interviewed Dr. Schubiner on this podcast a year ago, maybe now, maybe not quite that long ago, it was like right around episode 80, I think. I had asked him why I would get certain pain symptoms. For me, a lot of it had to do with like numbness into the fingertips, very nerve pain related all the way down my arms. My deltoids would hurt a lot. My neck would hurt a lot. And he had said, well, you know, what sort of activities do you like to do? And I had said, riding a motorcycle, lifting weights, a lot of these things were, you know, arms out in front of me. And he said, well, does it have your attention? And I said, yeah. And he's like, it has your attention. That's why it's picking that spot. So, and in this case, the low back in a lot of ways has to be that thing. If you think about the amount of, like when I've tweaked my low back deadlifting or whatever, I did it 2 weeks ago. It happened the week before this ankle thing, deadlifting. And, normally that would be the kind of thing. I mean, even as recently as when this would happen a few months ago, I feel like this injury would, it wouldn't like drag along. It would get slowly better, but it would still take 3 or 4 weeks of getting a little, you know, 1% better every day, and then it would be fully better. With this one, I just sort of didn't accept it. And I just said, like, no, man, like, fuck this. This should not keep hurting like this. And it went away. I didn't allow it to grab my attention. And maybe that's why it's not around. This ankle thing is interesting because now, granted, I am getting better day by day outside of probably pushing it too much yesterday. But, you know, who knows? It is bruised. It is very swollen. It has only been 6 days, I think, since this happened. So I don't want to assume that everything is derived by the mind. But this very much, you know, maybe it's maybe be better in 3 or 4 days. And it's being dragged along. But I mean, the thing is, I'm not too worried about it. I know that I'll be back to like my favorite activity in the world. I would give up weightlifting and CrossFit in a heartbeat if it meant that I could ride my motorcycle every day and I could go ride my motorcycle in the dirt every day and ride mountains and do backcountry trails and things like that. I know I'm going to be fine in a couple of months. So, you know, it is what it is. And so even if this thing takes a week or a month or whatever it takes, it doesn't really matter because it's going to go away. So that's the sort of indifference again that you need to be able to have in this regard. So that's all I got. 21 minutes, 22 minutes. Thanks again, everybody, for the support. I got a really nice iTunes review. Now my wife and my kids are calling me on FaceTime, so I'm going to get going. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.